Turn with me this morning, 20th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. I don't remember whether it's last week or the week before. I've slept since then. But Paul made a statement, I think it was the week before last, that he used to think that if God would bring some catastrophe, I don't know if that's the exact words he said, but it'd be similar to that, or some great tragedy upon the land, it might have some effect upon the people, and they might turn to God. Well, needless to say, I had same thoughts. Not recently, but I thought that at one time, and the Baptist folk have taught that to some extent. I'll give you an example. They say, old Joe Blow over there, he's down and out and he's sick, and this is the time to go visit him, because the Lord has brought something upon him. It may correct him. Not so. Won't happen. Matter of fact, we're promised in the last days, I'm talking about the last days, not just the time in which, you know, this whole period, I'm talking about in the last of the last days, in the day, that these things will happen. God will bring punishment upon the people. And what will they do? Turn to God? No, they'll turn to cursing. They're not going to have it. We're going to build a better, earth. We're going to build another tower up into the heavens. And we shall, one famous man said that, y'all know that, we shall overcome. And that's just another example. I'd like to read a good bit here in this 20th chapter. We'll begin verse 5. And he can say unto them, the Lord has said him what to say, the Israelite people, thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am Lord your God. This lifting up his hand could mean several things here too. He was dealing with Israel with his hand, causing things to happen. Another thing could mean that by his hand he has sworn that he's going to uphold Israel. It's going to be so. And in the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth out of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is a glory of all the land. We talked about this some while back. The land was there. It was prepared. It was ready. All you got to do is enter in. I told you about the man that told me, and Betty and I were talking a little bit this morning about this morning on the way down here. People are confused. They think Israelite people went into the promised land. Promised land is yet to come. They didn't go in the promised land. Why? Because they were murmuring against God and complaining, and they wasn't happy. Lord, you brought us out here in this desert to die. In all time, they was eating the bread that come down from heaven and drinking the water out of the rock. Wasn't good enough. Would that you had left us in Egypt. And let me tell you a little story right behind that. They never did leave. Most of them never did leave. They were still captive in the land of Egypt in their heart because that's where they wanted to be. He said, then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abomination of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt, for I am the Lord your God. And he makes this statement over and over and over. I lifted up my hand. I'm the Lord. I am God. He said, but they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away his abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then said I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But listen, God is long-suffering. Well, we even mentioned that this morning. Apostle Paul asked this question, why, Lord, did you leave them in the world and keep on being long-suffering with them? And the answer to that is this, that I might show my great power. I'm going to show who I am. I'm God. He said, but I wrought for my name's sake. Now, this is what God does. It's for his name's sake, his glory. That's what he called the people out for. That's what he called Israel out for his glory. He said that it should not be polluted before the heathen among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them. Did they not know? Yeah. They did. Does not man know? Yeah, he does. But you know what he does too? He keeps saying in his heart, there ain't no God. I'm my own God. Oh, our old poets have said that. I'm a master of my own fate. I'll run my ship. I think it ought to be mine. He said, I made myself known unto them in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. You'd think they could see this, couldn't you? They're over there making them bricks in the hot sun. Pharaoh had done cut the straw off. And things was getting worse and worse. And here their deliverer is. And after all the things that he brought up on Egypt, and they were there to look upon it. I guess one of the worst ones when the firstborn of everything died. If it didn't have a blood upon the lintel, upon the doorpost. But yeah, they knew. And he said, and I gave them my statutes, and I showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. There's life in these things. (Clears throat) He said, moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. I'm the power that has set them aside and called them to be my people. My name, say, Israel. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. In other words, the whole world could see that. And in James 1 iota, we have this record. We have this record of the mercies of God. He said, yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Because they despise my judgments and walk not in my statutes, but polluteth my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, mine eye spared them from destroying them. One more time. Just one more time. Neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said unto their children, now, a little change here. We've got a whole generation gone. Now he's going to tell the children. I said unto their children, in the wilderness, walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers. Now you saw what happened to them. You didn't see them coming out of Egypt, but you saw what happened to them in the wilderness. Neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourself with their idols. I am Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you. The Lord is long-suffering in him. He just keeps on showing himself. He keeps on and on. And that hadn't changed. And these Sabbaths should be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew mine hand and wrought for my name's sake that should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen in whose sight I brought them forth. I lifted up my hand unto them also in the wilderness that I would scatter them. Judgment is coming. It's sure. Now this time he's lifting up his hand to a different thing. I'm going to scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes, and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore, I gave them also statutes that they were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. Now what he's saying here, if you want what's over in Egypt, I'm going to give it to you. It's yours. You can have it. Go ahead and take hold of it. Yeah. Looks like they've come down to the point here that they're reprobate. You know what reprobate means? Not having good judgment. Can't judge right from wrong. It's all wrong. But it's right in your own eyes. Not making good judgment. Reprobate. It also seems like it has another connotation, that there's no more chance. It's done. It's over. You have tried me until I have turned away. And that's what he did with Israel. Apostle Paul went. He dishuman like the rest of them. He said, I'm going to try to save my people. And he had to get a whipping to leave. I want you to go preach to the Gentiles. Those people are reprobate. If they don't hear you, dust off your feet and move on. Go tell it to the next. Because they had not executed my judgment. He said, no, I'm down verse 24. Wherefore I gave them also statutes that they were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. And I polluted them in their own gifts, in that they caused to pass through the fire all that opened the womb. That I might make them desolate to the end, that they might know that I am the Lord. You know that's something man can't escape? He can't get away from it. I don't care how far he runs or how he proclaims that he does not believe there's a God. He can be atheist all day long. But God proves over and over and over and over, even by judgment, by disasters that come upon this world, even what men call nature, that he's God. There's no escaping it. And that's the reason a man says he's atheist. He keeps on trying to tell his old heart, there isn't a God, there isn't a God, there isn't a God. And all the creation keeps telling him there is a God. And he can't escape it. There is admonition here for us. Romans, the first chapter. This is well known scripture. We'll go back to it. I don't know where to start here. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie? He's talking about the Israelite people. and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, and men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. This is what they deserve. And even, now listen, there's another story. This is what they wanted. And God gave it to them. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knoweth. Now here's the crux of the whole thing. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now here's the admonition to you and I. Judge yourselves that you be not judged. Use good judgment. How you do that? Go into the perfect law of liberty and be liberated. If you don't make a proper judgment, it leads you down that other path. Same way the Israelite people went, saying, we'll be our own God. But listen, if you do that, you're going to pass through fire. Our God is a consuming fire.
One thing that will change a person's hardness of his heart, that is the almighty work of God, by the Holy Ghost. But does that excuse a man That's one of the biggest confusions of our day in the contention of those that we refer to as Arminians against the sovereignty of God. Because how can God be just? If men are already predestined either to heaven or to hell. And a lot of our sovereign grace brethren don't like to think that God has predestined some to hell. In fact, they fight, some of them fight that almost as much as the Arminians fight predestination to heaven. But nevertheless, if there were no other thing to think of, if God predestined some to heaven, then He automatically predestined others to hell because there's no other place to go. That's it. But we leave nothing to chance to our God. He has determined all things. But what makes God righteous? Well, number one, it is that man does know. Because the law of God is within him. His conscience bears witness to that truth of God. But the second thing then that makes God just is the cross of Christ. Because on that cross, he bore the punishment for those whom he elected to save. And because he himself suffered the same judgment that he, by which he judges the lost, no man can accuse him of being unjust. How about you and me? How much better are we as far as our judgments are concerned than the unbeliever without Christ? Did we believe? No. It's only by the grace of God. And therein again lies the ultimate of the glory of God, because no man can boast himself, saved or sinner. It's all of God. Someone have a song this morning?